The following shiur has been presented by Rav Micha Cohen, dayan at the Beis Chabad Halacha Center.
The Gemara over here discusses what happens when you have a mitzaira, someone who was impure, had tumas meis, and they're going through the tara process where they get spritzed with certain blood and they put on different parts of their body, as well as the tara process of a nazir, right? A nazir at the conclusion of his 30 days, he gets shaved, goes through a process. And the question is, what if they're missing some of the ability to do that avoid? For example, what if the person needs to be shaved, and that's part of the tara process, but they don't have any hair? So, according to one opinion in the Gemara, the person can never become purified, because we can't do that. According to the other opinion of the Gemara, we can sort of put the razor over the body, that will be considered enough. The Gemara continues to discuss that what about when we have to put this blood, this mixture, on the fingers in different places, what happens if the person, unfortunately, is missing fingers? So according to one opinion of the Gemara, you can put it on the limb corresponding to those fingers. So you can put it up further on the limb, and that'll be enough. According to the other opinion, you can put it on the other hand. If it's supposed to be on the right hand, you can put it on the left hand, even though the Torah says you're supposed to put it on the right hand. Now, the question that I'd like to talk about with you today is, when it comes to laws of tefillin, we know the Torah says, "Ukshartem lo'ayis al yadecha," that you're supposed to tie it as a sign onto your forearm. And yadecha, there's a drasha that says, "Yadcha yad kaya," the weaker hand. So therefore, a person takes their right hand, assuming that they're righty, and they tie the tefillin onto their left hand, the weaker hand. And if a person is what we call a lefty, then they do the opposite. Now the question becomes, what happens if a person's missing their hand entirely? So the Mishnah Berurah says that the following. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the laws of tefillin, "V'im ein lo yad smol klal." If a person doesn't have the left hand at all, or afilu k'tzas hazroya shelamala, even if they have part of the arm, but lamala mimakam hakibayris, but he doesn't have the lower part of the upper arm that's used to put tefillin on, the middle part where we put the tefillin on. And he doesn't have ein lo makim kibaris klal. It says patur meliach milihaniach hashayad af biyamin. So he says he's exempt from putting the tefillin on the left side, and even on the right side, he's completely exempt. Yesh machmirim is that. Some are stringent. So again, according to the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, the Torah says to put the tefillin on the weaker hand, and this person has no weaker hand. He's missing his left hand. He only has his strong hand. So therefore, he only puts it on his... So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, he's completely exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah then brings an opinion, v'yesh machmirim bazeh, and some are stringent. And what he's referring to is the opinion of the Shvus Yankov. Now, the Shvus Yankov asks a very interesting question. He wants to know about somebody who is only born with one arm, a birth defect. They're only born with one arm. And he brings two different drushas, two different limudim that the Gemara learns in Menachas. One limud says that if he's missing a hand, he's putter. He's exempt from wearing tefillin. And the other is that Acherim Aymerim Yad Keya, the rabbi says a gidim, that the gidim is included. So it would seem that we have two contradicting ideas. One says that a person is missing an arm is exempt from tefillin. One says they're obligated in tefillin. And he brings the Taisa's comments that it's not a dispute. It's not an argument. And he's perturbed in understanding. How do you understand Taisa's? It seems to be contradicting himself. Now, there are a number of different ways of explaining this Taisus, and the Shvus Yankov brings his own novel approach to understanding what Taisus is referring to. And his basic idea is, he wants to differentiate between someone who had a left arm and unfortunately lost it, to a person who was never born with a left arm, they had a birth defect. And the question is how to play it. In other words, which one would be exempt and which one would not be exempt. So first, the Shvasankov makes an argument like this. He says the person that was born with a left hand, so he was obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin, and now that he lost his left hand, he's still obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin, and therefore, if he can fulfill it a different way, he can fulfill it on his right hand, then he's obligated to do so. Whereas a person who was never born with a left hand, so they never had the obligation of tefillin. This is the Shvus Yaakov's initial argument. So according to this, should come out that although the Mishnah Berurah tells us that a person who's missing an arm is exempt from tefillin, that would be a person who was born without the arm, but a person who lost their arm would not be exempt, because that person was already obligated in tefillin, and therefore they would still have to put on. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah was alluding to when he says yesh machmirim, that some are stringent. He's referring to this thought of the Shvus Yaakov, that perhaps since the person was already obligated, therefore whatever hand available, he will have to put tefillin on. But then the Shvus Yaakov goes 180 degrees the other way. And he says, you know what? It doesn't really make sense like that. It makes sense the opposite. In other words, if the person had a left hand, so we clearly define that his right hand is the strong hand and his left hand is the weak hand. So therefore, the obligation is to put on the left hand as opposed to the right hand. So if he loses that left hand, then he can't put on the right hand, because the right hand was never the hand that was ever designated for tefillin. However, if the person was only born with one hand, so you can't call this hand to be the strong hand. It's strong is relative to a different hand. There's no other hand. So this hand is the strong hand, but it's also the weak hand. So says the Shvus Yaakov, if he only has one hand from birth, then it could be considered the weak hand as well. So therefore, you would have obligation to put tefillin on that hand. This is what he says. So he basically brings two arguments. The first argument would be to say the person who was born without the hand would not have to put tefillin on the hand. And the second argument is to say that no, the person born without the hand would have to put on, and the person who lost the hand would not. So what do you do with all this? So the Shvus Yaakov says, I have a great idea. That we know that it's possible to make both brachas on the Shal Rosh. So he says, in order that we shouldn't have a question about making the brachas, put on the Shal Yad, put on the one that goes on the hand without a bracha, on whatever hand he has left, and then you'll make both brachas on the Shal Rosh. Now again, fundamentally, it seems that the Mishnah Berurah believes that if you don't have a left hand, you're potter from tefillin entirely, entire left arm, that's what we're referring to, and he doesn't differentiate between when the person lost it. But then we have the novel approach of the Shvus Yaakov is to say, to make these differentiations, and at the end of the day, one definitely could put on, because it's a doubt, and therefore, as long as you're not making a bracha, it's not in vain. And that bracha that you're missing, you could, according to the Shvus Yaakov, he says, you could say that bracha when you put on the Shal Rosh. Now, the next question in this discussion is the opposite, and it gets a little bit complicated. Because what do you do with a person who, unfortunately, something happened to their right hand? Because the right hand was the strong hand, and now something happened to it, and it became weak. It got paralyzed, or it was in an accident and it got maimed, so it's not being used anymore. So the question becomes: originally, this was the right hand, this was the strong hand, and the left hand was the weak hand. Now this person that they're not able to use their right hand anymore, the right hand will be the weak hand, and the left hand will be compensating, it will be the strong hand. So according to Rav Shmuel Vosner in Shevet HaLevi, this is his conclusion. He says, this person now is not able to use his right hand anymore. He's not able to use his strong hand anymore. So therefore, that became the weak hand, and the left hand is now the strong hand, so you put the tefillin on the right hand, then being tied by the left hand. This is the opinion of Rav Shmuel Vosner in Shevet HaLevi. Now, some disagree with this for a number of reasons. And in general, there's a discussion about one who was born, let's say, let's say, a righty, or the opposite. Let's say a person was born a lefty, and then they get used to being able to write with their right hand. So we know the luck is that a person who's ambidextrous can write with both hands. Luck is that they put on the left hand because they do what everyone else does. In other words, the only time a person does the opposite is when their right hand is weak. So therefore they tie it with their left hand because for them the left hand is the strong hand. But a person who both are equal, so then the luck is he does what everyone else does. What most people, what the rest of the world does is all the righties is they tie the tefillin on the left hand using their right hand. Now, so what if you have this lefty and he teaches himself to write with his right hand? So now he essentially made himself ambidextrous. Does that help or not? So according to the Mishnah Berurah, it helps because once you got used to writing that way, so therefore that's enough. Now, according to other Paiskim, it doesn't work because the Yad Keya, the weak hand, means that's naturally weak. Just because you taught it to do something else, it doesn't take away its status of being naturally weak. Now, if we take this approach, then in the situation where a person was a righty and they had a strong right hand, and then something unfortunately happened to it and they can't use it anymore, so what should come out is that we can't consider the left hand to all of a sudden be the strong hand and the right hand to be the weak hand, because the left hand naturally is the weaker hand, just something happened to the right hand. So relatively, we look at it that it's stronger now. But really, it didn't become any stronger. So therefore, that could be problematic. Another issue that some raise is that the approach that we're saying is really equating, very simply, a person who the right hand became weak or was lost to someone who got themselves used to it and made it stronger. And those two things may not be the same, because it's one thing if a person strengthened their hand to the point where it's strong and therefore it could do just as much as the other hand, then you want to tell me that you could bring it to that situation and be considered ambidextrous. That's fine. But by the process of elimination, just by the fact that the right hand is not functioning anymore, doesn't necessarily make the left hand to be considered so strong. And some have a point that even though eventually probably this person will become very proficient in the left hand because they'll have to compensate, but until that happens, we can't safely say that it has the luchic status of someone who is margal himself, someone who got used to himself. So because of this, some paiskim feel that it's not so simple, that you might still have an obligation to put it on the other hand. Now, in these situations, sometimes people will put on both for parts of davening. Now, the question is obviously going to be which one to make a bracha on. So, again, according to Rav Osner, he was of the opinion that you could make a bracha on the when you put it on the right hand that became weak. But again, there are different opinions. Now, we mentioned before that a person who lost an arm, let's say they lost a left arm, so they're exempt from putting on tefillin. So the question is, what does it mean to lose an arm? And what if the arm is still there, but it's completely paralyzed? So there was a Rav that wrote to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, and he was under the assumption, based on a sefer, that if an arm is completely paralyzed, then it's considered like it's not there. So therefore, you can't even put on that arm. And Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote to him back, it's printed in Igros Moshe, that that's not the case. That the references you find in the Gemara, known as Aver Mace, a dead limb, what does that mean? So this Rav understood it means to say that it's paralyzed, it's not functional. So Rav Moshe said no. That Aver Mace does not mean that an Aver is not functional. Aver Mace means that it's literally dead. It's really dried out. It has no life to it. A person that's paralyzed, unfortunately, the limb is is much, very much alive. Just they don't have function of it being able to move. So therefore, Moshe said that a person whose arm is paralyzed, they could definitely still put on tefillin on that arm. And this is something that's very pertinent to a person who is unfortunately a stroke victim, you know, on that side of the body, that Moshe writes that they definitely could still continue to put tefillin on that part of the hand.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.